I recall a slender steeple, a church house filled with people, and voices lifted up in happy song. In music so inviting, so warm and so exciting, I had to enter in and sing along. And as I joined right with them, what harmony and rhythm, my heart was lifted up to heaven above. I felt like shouting glory when I heard the gospel story, the songs about my Jesus and his love. I love that good old gospel singing, happy gospel singing, ringing out so loud and clear. Like an angel choir, how it lifts me higher, making heaven seem so near. Come on and join right in the chorus, really swell the chorus, let that happy sound prolong. Everybody sing it, make it ring until the whole world sings along.
With voices lifted high, we sing sweet by and by, and rock of ages clap for even me.
I love to tell the story of Jesus and his glory. Alas, and did my Savior bleed for me?
For 10 the old-time power, I need thee every hour, and nothing but the blood can make me whole. Oh, happy, happy day, he washed my sins away. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. I love that good old gospel singing, happy gospel singing, ringing out so loud and clear. Like an angel choir, how it lifts me higher, making heaven seem so near.
Come on and
join right in the chorus, really swell the chorus, let that happy sound prolong. Everybody sing it, make it ring until the whole world sings along. Until the whole world sings along. Until the whole world sings along.
Blessing, good song, young. Enjoyed that much. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 12. That's Old Testament, fifth book in your Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 12, and don't plan on this being a lengthy message right now. Of course, that's been said before, but seriously, I think I know what I'm up against in an afternoon service like this, and the mind cannot absorb what the body cannot endure, and many people didn't catch their afternoon nap, and so I get the hint here, okay? And I told one brother that. I said, this is going to be a short one. He said, good, good, preacher. So, amen. I don't know how that came out. But anyway, let's stand together. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. Why don't we do that in chapter 12? These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land, which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that ye live upon the earth. He tells them some things that they will do when they get in the land. And it says in verse 5, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. Verse 11, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Verse 14, but in the place which the Lord shall choose in one of thy tribes. Verse number 18, but thou must eat them before the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. That's it. Let's stop there. I want to speak for just a few minutes on this simple subject. There's no place like his place. No place like his place. Father, thank you for today, again for the fellowship, the fun. But now, Lord, would you please quicken our minds and our bodies. And Lord, help us, I pray, to pay attention. May the Spirit of God have access to the innermost recesses of our hearts. I pray you reach down and do a good work this afternoon with the good seed of your word. May it fall on good ground and bring forth good fruit. Speak to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you very much. Be seated. If you've been coming here for some amount of time, you understand what the book of Deuteronomy is. It is the vestibule to the promised land. It is Moses, if you will, re-giving the law that the Israelites are going to observe and live by once they go into the promised land. They have wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. Moses has been with them through all those years. He watched the men who were age 20 and over at Kadesh Barnea. He watched them die off one by one until all of them were gone. And now those men and girls and people that were under 20 years of age and some of their mothers and so forth are now ready to enter into the land of Canaan. So he is giving again the Old Testament law. It's time to go in and obtain what God had given them or had set aside for them 40 years earlier. Now Moses is not going in. He's hit the rock twice. He's not going in, but he's going to see it, but he's not going to go in, but he's getting the people of Israel ready to go in. And you read with me or noticed with me how many times in chapter 12 Moses talked about the place, the place, the place, the place, the place that the Lord your God shall choose. The place that the Lord your God shall choose. Verse 5, verse 11, verse 14, verse 18, verse number 21. Over and over again. The place, the place, the place. Now, I'm not going to take time for this to go through each verse, but several things about this place. The Bible tells us God said His name would be there. In fact, it says in verse number 5 that that place would become His habitation. He would live there, if you will, dwell there. Then He told them in verse 5 that they should be there. In verse number 6, they will worship there and serve there and give there. The people will be fed there. They should take their sons there. They should take their daughters there, their families there. They will be blessed as a result. Not only them individually, but their families corporately. They'll be blessed there, in that place. Sounds like a wonderful place, doesn't it? It's His place. And in this passage, that place became Jerusalem, the place where God chose to put His name. Don't forget that, folks. God chose to put His name in the city of Jerusalem. Now, when they would go into the promised land, they took the tabernacle in with them. You remember the tent of the in the wilderness that they would move from location to location. The pillar of fire by day and the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And the tabernacle would follow and they would set it up. And that would be the place where they brought their offerings and their sacrifices and where the Shekinah glory of God's presence would dwell. And they would take that tent into the land of Canaan. But after a few years, after the land had been settled and the kings were reigning, when David, in fact, was reigning, they began to make preparation to build a permanent structure in Jerusalem, a permanent temple there, replacing that old tent that had been carried around in the wilderness. And I want you to notice that God told them, God didn't just say, hey, you know what? When you go into the land of Canaan, just find a place, just any old place you choose. Hey, you know what? All you families can just choose anywhere you want to. Just go. Some of you go here. Some of you go there. You want to be back there, over here. Just any old place you choose to serve and to give and to worship and to take your family. Just choose any old place that you think. You don't find that in chapter 12. You find that God's going to choose a place. God chooses a place. And God says, I'm going to put my name there and I'm going to dwell there. And I want you to go there and I want you to serve there. And I want you to give there. I want you to take your families there. And I'm going to bless you there. You'll be blessed in that place. You see, people, there was just no place like His place in that city of Jerusalem. And that's where the temple was built, of course, years later. Now, I understand we live in a different day. This is not the Old Testament time period. We can worship God all the time, every day, anywhere. We have access to God anytime, anywhere. His presence indwells us permanently. We don't have to sacrifice lambs and rams and turtle doves and pigeons. Our sins aren't covered on an annual basis by the blood of bulls and goats. Our sin is forgiven and forgotten forever by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, things are so much different for us nowadays than they were for the Old Testament saints. But you know what, people? I still believe with all of my heart that God has a place. Not a tabernacle or a temple, but in this day and age, it's called a church. A New Testament church. It's a called out assembly of baptized believers organized to carry on the work of God. Yes, we can worship anywhere. I mean that. You know, it's deer hunting season. I've only been out once. I've been out once to sit in a tree stand once for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. And the truth of the matter is, lots of times on that deer stand, I'm serious as a heart attack, I can worship God from that deer stand. I can do that. We can worship God anywhere in this New Testament day and age, but God told us not to forget the assembly or forsake the assembly. We can give to other worthy ministries, but God told us not to forget or forsake the assembly. We can read and we can learn the Word of God at home. We can study the Bible with somebody else, but God also teaches us at the assembly. God is everywhere, but God is especially present at the assembly of His believers. You can have fellowship with another child of God in any number of places. But you know what? There's a special fellowship that takes place at the assembly, at God's place. You know, there's no place just like His place. I found out in my Christian life, there's still no place like His place. I'm talking about the local New Testament church. I've been saved a little over 42 years now. Most of what I've learned, knowledge-wise, I've learned it at church. God has taught me. God has disciplined me. God has spoken to me. God has helped me make decisions. God has helped me set a direction for my own life and for the life of our family. And He did that in great part at church, at His place. There's just no place like His place. We'll say two or three things about His place this afternoon and we'll be done. Number one, I want to say this. I love His place for me. I love it. His place for me is Faith Baptist Church. And I love Faith Baptist Church. Now, His place for other people in other areas, I'm sure is great. I'm sure it's wonderful. I get to visit when I travel. I get to visit some of those churches. I was in one Monday and Tuesday, just 4.5 hours south of here in Carterville, Illinois, where at the Victory Baptist Church that Brother Rick Dawson started some years ago, and now Glenn Auger is the pastor. That's a good church. That is a really good church. And Brother Dawson and I preached there together. We had a wonderful time. I got to visit other churches and be a special invited speaker. But I want to tell you something. I have never been any other place that tugged on my heart like this place does. This place tugs on my heart like no other. You say, is it a problem-free place? Yeah, right, sure. No, there are problems. It wouldn't be real life if we didn't have problems. You know what it's kind of like? It's kind of like buying a used car when you have car fever. You ever had car fever? I've had car fever. Where you just had to buy a car. Just had to buy a car. And you bought a used car, and you know it's old, and you know it has some bugs in it, and it has some things wrong with it. But man, that's a beautiful car, and you just got to buy a car. And kind of all the bugs and the problems and the difficulties, you overlooked all that because you just had to have the car. And that's how I feel. You know, there's problems here at Faith Baptist Church. And I don't know that I spend a little time every week dealing with problems. Probably that's true. Probably a little time every week dealing with some kind of problem in one of the ministries or with one of the members. I'm sure that's true. But you know what? I overlook that. I look at the big picture and all that God is doing and the great fellowship here. And I can say from the bottom of my heart tonight that I love this place. I love His place for me. No other place like His place. None whatsoever. You know, I think I've told you before, you remember that Joyce's mother was born over in Eastern Europe. And we learned more specifically about her birthplace and how her family got to that part of the old world over there, Eastern Poland, which is now Ukraine because the borders changed because of the wars and so forth. And we learned a lot about that in this last trip. And I never will forget hearing her mother tell how she came over on the boat and they came into New York Harbor and the Statue of Liberty. Now, that happened when she was, I forget what age, I'm sorry, 20 years of age, okay? So that happened several years ago. The first time we took the school young people on the senior trip to New York City was my first time to see the Statue of Liberty. And if you've never been able to see it, I think you ought to, if you ever get up in that part of the country, you ought to go there and see it. And so we loaded up on the little boat, you know, that goes out into the harbor there. And you can actually see it from a distance, but purposely, I wanted to wait until we got right in front of it to take a look, my first look at it. And so I just purposely kept my head down, kind of looking the other direction, looking at the water and so forth. And then I think we actually stopped at Ellis Island first, and a bunch of people got off at Ellis Island, and some people got on. And then we took the ferry over to the Liberty Island where the statue is. And I was thinking about my mother-in-law on that boat. And I was thinking about her and her brother and her sister and her mother coming into this country on that boat as foreigners fleeing the Russian army back then. And the boat got right in front of where the Statue of Liberty, right in front of it. And that's when I took my first look at it. And honestly, the tears began to roll down my cheeks. I began just to weep as I looked at that statue, trying to imagine what that statue has meant to people all these years who came over on how many boats. And it meant freedom, and it meant opportunity. And that big lady there standing there with that torch up in the sky. And you know, say what you want, we're not a perfect nation, but there's just no place like the United States of America and what it represents and what it stood for all of these years. And when I think of that in the same line, I think about Faith Baptist Church. When I pull down this Armor Road down here, and I have my days where, like everybody else does, I have bad days, I have tough days. But for the most part, when I pull down this road here and I see this church building come into my line of sight, it puts an excitement in my heart. It really does. I come over this overpass over here and I see that steeple and I see this church building, and that puts a tug on my heart. I love His place for me. This is His place for me. I love it with all of my heart. There's no place quite like His place. I love our ministries. I love our bus ministry. I love to see the kids. I love to go into King's Kids with your little boys and girls and have fun with them. And I missed that tonight. And we'll do that next Sunday night. They'll sing. And I love King's Kids. I love our school ministry. I love being in the Bible class when I'm in town on Monday. I love being in chapel with the kids on Tuesday. I enjoy it. There are times when you have to drag yourself. Oh, yeah. I'm normal. I'm not a robot. Nobody's mechanical. But when I come through the back doors of this building on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays, I'm excited to come in. I love His place for me. Don't lose the wonder of it all. Don't lose how good God's been to us. There's no place quite like His place. I love His place for me. Number two, I just kind of giving a testimony this afternoon. I am committed to His place for me. I'm committed here. This is where I'm committed. I am committed to Faith Baptist Church. You know, there are no greener pastures. There are no wealthier churches to go to. I'm not here until a bigger church comes available. Brother Brown, if there's been one man over the years who he called me, Terry, are you happy? Everything okay at Faith Baptist? Well, I got a church. I thought, like, give him your name. No, Brother Brown, you don't have to give me your name. He called me about Brother Bobby. Brother Bobby's going to have surgery. And that church down there. And the cancer surgery on his brain. I said, Brother Brown, who is going to take that church? Well, Terry, now listen, I want to ask you, would you be interested? I said, no, I am not interested. I gave him a name of a guy that I think would be a good fit down there. But I said, Brother Brown, I am not interested. There is no opportunity. There's no bigger church. There's no smaller church that I'd rather go to or be in. This is His place for me. I am committed at Faith Baptist. As long as you'll have me. Now, I guess I should say that. As long as you'll have me. If their church ever rises up and says we want somebody else, then I'll have to go. But now I'm going to have to take Mom with me, so you guys are going to have to just keep us both. All right? So I'm committed to His place for me. There's no organizations or causes that get a higher level of commitment for me than His place for me. I love it. I'm committed to it. I love Providence Baptist College, but I am not committed at Providence like I'm committed here. I think it's a great school. I enjoy teaching. I have a good time with the young people and the students. And they got a good bunch of students this year. A couple of them have been booted, but that's how it goes every year. And the kids that are there now seem to have a serious mindset and they want to learn. And it's enjoyable teaching there. but I am not more committed to Providence than I am to Faith Baptist Church. I love places like Cedar River Baptist Camp. You know that. I've been out there year after year after year after year. I'm for it. Try to support it financially. But I am not more committed at Cedar River. This is His place for me. Now listen. People may disappoint me here. People may disappoint you here. People may let you down here. People may let me down here. People may hurt you. People may hurt me. But I want to tell you something. Our commitment to this place ought to be bigger than the disappointment, bigger than the hurt. Bigger than that. Bigger than that. I love His place for me. I am committed to His place for me. I am committed financially to His place for me. Now, in my life now, at this stage in the game, more of my money per month goes to Faith Baptist Church than any other entity. I'm at that age in my life. Some of you are not. I understand that. You younger couples especially. But at this stage in the game, for me, more of my money comes up to this church than any other entity, utility company, bank, or anything. I am committed financially to His place for me. I am committed to it. I love it. There's no place quite like His place. Now we'll say number three tonight. I have a vision for His place. I have a vision for His place. I'm serious, folks. Things like this, these Vietnamese people just walking in and wanting to learn English, that excites my heart. I see an opportunity. Will it develop? I don't know. I don't know if it will develop or not. And I don't know how many Oriental folks are in this neck of the woods. I don't know. But there's got to be more than that. And the opportunity to reach out to different groups and win them to Christ and get the gospel to them. I have a vision of young men and young ladies growing up in this place and going on to serve the Lord full time. I have a vision for that. Thank God for the ones that are out there already. But I think God, you know, I love it. Our missionaries from Faith Baptist Church place out here on the wall has expanded now because of Jamie and Keith and Amanda and Josh. And I did notice that there's a couple of extra boards that Brother Griffin, when he expanded it, he put a couple of blank boards up there. And I'm glad those blank boards are there because that means there's room for more young people to go to the mission field and serve God. And we have some younger people, younger men and younger women who've surrendered to full-time work as a missionary. And I have a vision for them. And just watching them now and seeing them absorb the services and hopefully doing well in Sunday school and seeing God grow them and mature them until they go on deputation and their letters go on the wall back there. I have a vision for that. I have a vision of young men and ladies growing up and marrying and working and staying here and rearing their families in His place. And it thrills me. It thrills me that the Harrisons got a house. It thrills me. I was happy to hear that they got a house. And I see a vision. Ryan's not in full-time service, but he's a full-time Christian. And Sarah's not full-time service, but she's a full-time Christian. And many of you young couples, and you may not be in ministry, you're not second class to me. You're not second rate to me. You're important. You're part of God's people. You've got a place. And I have a vision for you and your children, you to serve the Lord here and give God an opportunity to bless you here and make you fruitful here and then rear your little bitty kids out there running around that I get to be with in King's Kids and the little 3, 4, 5-year-olds and growing up to be mature people of God. I have a vision for that. That doesn't happen overnight, folks. That's years down the road still. I have a vision of several of us growing older together in this place. Some of us have already grown old together. Yeah, 27 years now. A lot of us have grown old together. But I have a vision of us growing older yet together. I have a vision of more families, husbands, wives, children sitting in the pew. I have a vision for His place. I don't think God is done here yet. I understand the day and age in which we serve. I understand. I believe with all of my heart. And I've told you this at Missions Conference, that the gospel, the harvest field right now, the main harvest, is in the brown people, the brown-skinned people groups of this world. The Philippines and the Hispanic and the 1040 window, where they're coming to Christ in gobs, getting saved. And you go to the Caucasian countries, the white Caucasian countries, and it's one here and two here. I understand that. I understand it. I understand the day and age in which you're living. It thrills my heart. The lady got saved this morning. God's not done. And I have a vision for His work at this place. It excites me to be able to serve here. I love His place for me. I'm committed to His place for me. I have a vision for His place for me. And I want to say this last of all this afternoon. His place for me and His place for you is to be different from their place. To be different from their place. Look at verse number 2 in the chapter here. This is what He said. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods. Upon the high mountains and upon the high hills, the hills and under every green tree. And ye shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. Ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names out of that place. He said, I want you to destroy their places. I don't want my place to be anything like their place. And folks, I don't know if you understand this or not, but this is probably the greatest battle that independent Baptists are fighting today. We are losing our distinction. We're losing it. We're losing our distinction from the world. We're losing our distinction as people of God, being different from the unsaved people. And I am committed to keeping this place different by the grace of God. I don't mean better. I don't mean snooty, a snooty better than thou, holier than thou. I just mean there ought to be a difference between God's people and the world's people. And it shows up in everything, people. It shows up in our spirit and our body, which are God's. Glorify God in your body and your spirit. And we're losing the battle. We are losing ground. It's alarming. This morning I taught. Our lesson in beginning my journey class was on the subject of in His likeness. It is a lesson on separation. It's a lesson on separation from the world unto God. It is not one-sided because separation is two sides of the same coin. It is from the world unto God. It's not enough just to come from and squat. It's from the world so I can draw closer to God. Do more for God. And I put a picture of two rock and roll singers on the screen. One was a rock and roll singer that I'll give you his name in a second. Everybody that ever listened to rock and roll will know it. The other was a Christian rock and roll. I put the two pictures up there. I said, which one is a Christian? You couldn't tell. You could not tell. One was Alice Cooper. And the other guy was Brian Welch. Brian Welch has some Christian rock and roll band, K-Korn, K-O-R-N. And I'm going to tell you, folks, when you put those two pictures up here, they mirror each other. Alice Cooper and this man who's supposedly a born-again Christian, and there's absolutely no difference in their appearance, no difference, no distinction whatsoever. And I'm going to tell you something, that's what's happening. We are losing ground in the area of distinction as people of God. And God never intended for their place and His place to be similar. Never did. His place and their place is supposed to be diametrically different. By the grace of God, my vision for this place does not include rock and roll music. Does not include the contemporary rock music. Absolutely not. Just rock and roll music with Jesus' words thrown in it. Nope. No Bible and beer day here. Nope. That's happening. Bible and beer day. No Bible and beer day here. No. And yes, we will have patience. And yes, we will accept people. But if they're going to serve in positions of leadership, then there will be adherence to certain distinction in dress and behavior and so forth and so on. Because I want to keep the leadership plugged in to the old paths. That's part of my vision for His place. Distinction. Distinction. And the crowd that's never been for distinction, I don't know what they're saying now because it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Just goes, it's sliding like crazy. I love His place for me. I am committed to His place for me. I have a vision for His place for me. And His place is to be different from the other places because there's just no place quite like His place. And for those of us who attend church here, His place is on this corner. armor and Mooney. It's not perfect. It's got pimples and zits and all kinds of problems that normal churches have, that have people and a pastor like me, and we all have them. But it's still His place. It's His place. And there's no place quite like His place. If you're a church member, wherever you belong to church, that's your place. If this is your church home, there's no place quite like His place. Do you love it? Are you committed to it? Do you have a vision for it? Will you help us be different? His place. No place quite like it. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the privilege to preach this afternoon about Your place. There is no place quite like Your place. And God, I thank You for the attention of the people on an afternoon service where we're just kind of out of the ordinary. It's a little bit different. And Lord, we just ate a nice meal and it is a little bit wearisome. I understand that. But God, I thank You for Your Word and I thank You for the truth from it. And God, I just thank You for the local New Testament church. And I thank You for this church. We're far from perfect, but Lord, this is Your place for us. You've called us here and put us here. And Lord, we serve here and we give here and we worship here and we honor You here. And there's no place quite like Your place. I pray that, Lord, we would love it, be committed to it, have a vision for it, and help it to remain distinct from the other places. God, please give us a great future here at Faith Baptist Church. Thank You for Your place here. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I hope you're committed. Many of you are. I hope you love it. You know, you're in the same place for so long. After a while, it can become a little bit redundant and same old, same old. If you're not careful, keep it fresh in your heart. Remember how you felt when you first came. And boy, you thought, man, praise God. Stay right. Stay excited. There's no place quite like His place. If you need to be saved, tell Brother Mick tonight, I need to be saved. Or baptized, join the church or whatever. As the ladies play a song of invitation, the altar is open. And you come tonight if you'd like to. There's no place quite like His place.